broadcast at Calvary Community Church in Williams Bay, featuring Vaughn Williams' London Symphony and local standout high school harpist Clarissa Schilling. For tickets, visit lakegenevaorchestra.org. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 on your FM dial, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus location, high atop the ultra-modern, fully state-of-the-art bioscience building. Today, it is a pleasure for me to introduce our listening audience to my guests, Mr. Bill Hittman, who's principal of Lakeview Technical Academy, Mr. Timothy Overacker, and Dr. Eric Schroeder. Both are faculty members at LTA in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We'll be discussing the grant they received for their school with their program, Teaching Physics Through Radio. And it's a particularly timely and relevant presentation, if you consider the fact that we are on radio. So we're going to let them discuss how that platform works and how everything got put together. And as I do with all my guests, I want to give the panel, obviously, the opportunity to describe their past professional background and the role education has played in it, bringing them to this point. And since the principal is here, I will leave it to the inestimable Mr. Bill Hittman to go into that background for us, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, good morning, Chuck. And good
Thank
morning.
You. Thank you.
How listening
it's a
audience.
Pleasure.
I came to this district 14 years ago. I'm the retired superintendent from Sheboygan. And before that, I was the superintendent of schools of Whitnall, Hales Corners, Greenfield, and Franklin. It's a long story how I got here, but I'm very, very happy to be here. So I've been the principal director of Lakeview Technology Academy for the last 14 years. And I had the pleasure of hiring these two gentlemen next to me here. My original background was I graduated from college and I worked in the machine tool industry.
Where did you go to college, Bill?
I went to University of Wisconsin, Stout.
Okay.
Okay. And
tool and die?
Yes. The company I worked for manufactured the tools that machined all the valves for the Saturn V rocket that went to the moon. In fact, we used to advertise that on all the literature.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I worked in there in 1967, made a lot more money doing that compared to teaching. But the problem was they owned me 24 hours a day.
Your time was not your own.
Oh, no. Time was my own. And what made me switch was we took on a contract with the United States Military Department of Navy, making some tools that machine parts for atomic submarine and atomic aircraft carrier. And we did not get them done in time. And one day I'm at work along with everybody else and the owner of our business. And the FBI shows up along with military police. And for 1 week, I could not leave that place. Okay, until we got all those tools done. Otherwise, we were in violation of the National Security Act.
Wow.
After that happened, I said, you know what? I'm not sure I want to do this anymore.
At least not in that capacity.
Right. So I started out first working for the East Troy Schools. Then I worked for Kettle Moraine. And then I worked for the Whitnall Schools for 24 years, where I was a teacher, administrator, business manager, and superintendent of schools.
Wow.
And then I left there, and I was a superintendent of Sheboygan for 6 years. Retired, started working on my doctorate's degree. My oldest daughter came down with cancer, serious cancer.
Oh, my.
I stopped, didn't go back to school anymore, and finished. She got better. She's much better. She has two
That's
children.
That's great to hear.
She was an experimental patient at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
And, what a blessing, what a miracle. That's
through great. Strange ways, which I won't go into tonight, I ended
Understood.
Up coming here to Kenosha 14 years ago and couldn't be happier.
Yes, well, absolutely, and certainly the community as well as the school district has been a benefactor of your influence.
Thank you very much.
If we can move the I guess microphone to the next member of the panel this morning, it's Tim. I've known you for a while since I first started the district in the district 10 years ago.
That is correct. You and my wife were actually in school at Carthage together.
Correct. We were doing some special education classwork. Yes.
And I started. I got into teaching through an alternative route. My initial degree from Parkside was in computer science and computer engineering.
Okay.
And I worked in industry. I worked for Big Pharma doing clinical research, data analysis, programming. And the industry about 9 years ago took a short little downturn, and there was a lot of layoffs. And a friend of mine was a math teacher and said, we're desperately looking for math teachers and science teachers, even in the substitute level. So I put in an application and substitute taught 1.5 days, and I get a phone call from Mr. Hittman saying, we like what you're doing. Would you mind jumping from industry and going into education full time? That next day, he hired my wife as an English teacher because she was a licensed English teacher at the time, and I haven't looked back. And working with the kids has been way more rewarding than working with machines and solving daily business problems.
Sure. And this was at Parkside that you went to school.
I graduated from Parkside, computer science, computer engineering.
With Mr. Hittman. And you must have done some administrative work somewhere, Bill?
I've got degrees from Stout, two from Stout, degrees University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Okay.
Whitewater. And I did my doctorate's work at Cardinal Stritch.
Oh, I see. Okay. So as we will find with Dr. Schroeder going to be next, education is important in your lives and highly valued.
Absolutely.
It's not only an important linchpin to your development and movement, but certainly something that you value and reflect that in your influence with other students. That's great. Tim, I'm going to let you continue. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure that
everyone's
brought up.
Another interesting side story about teaching. If you go back in my family, my mother was a teacher. My mother was a chemistry and biology teacher. My grandmother was a math and physics teacher. My great-grandfather was a physics and mathematics professor. And now, up with me, it's chemistry, physics, math, and computer science. And it allows me to bring my industry experience and the knowledge of all of those subject areas to really tie into students' individual needs and interests. At a much deeper
it's
level.
It's really energizing to have access to those resources locally because, as I understand it, the chemistry program at Parkside is like second to almost none in Wisconsin.
It was a fantastic program when I was in AS.
I'm comparing it to, of course, Madison, and that's in a class by itself in a way. But from everything I understand, the reputation of the chemistry program at Parkside is as good as you're going to find. And that's great to hear, and good to know that the students at Lakeview have access also to that level of resource and professional preparation. Anything beyond the bachelor's level at this point?
I got my teaching credentials.
You said alternative certification or something.
Through project teaching,
okay.
Which was in northern Wisconsin in Ladysmith.
Oh, okay.
And partnered with St. Mary's College in Minnesota.
Oh, understood. Okay, wonderful. Well, certainly welcome to the district and welcome to the program this morning. Hope it isn't too terribly early for you.
No, I'm fine. Okay. Thank you.
And my final guest as part of the panel, Dr. Eric Schroeder, we'll let you give us a little bit of that information about your background.
Well, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but I'm a Minnesotan. Sorry.
That's
but
fine.
But I did marry a Packers fan, so
good.
We're cool. We can cohabitate.
Vikings play the Packers, I suppose.
Then I know I keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
But I did get educated in Wisconsin. So I went to Lawrence University up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I got a bachelor's in biology with the equivalent of a minor's in chemistry.
Okay.
And then after that, took off to graduate school in St. Louis, Washington University in St. Louis, and spent many, many years there. I got a master's degree in virology. My PhD is in, it says on the diploma, I think it says biology and biomedical sciences, developmental biology.
But who's
biochemistry.
Counting? Right.
Yeah, at that point, I have too many degrees. I've been in school too long. And now I've come back around the other end in teaching. So I did research mainly for almost 30 years and moved on at one point to Loyola University in Chicago.
Wonderful
school. So we moved here 8 years ago to Pleasant Prairie, and I took the train down to Chicago every day. And one thing they don't tell you when you get your own lab and you become a professor is you don't get to do what you're good at anymore. You sit in the office, and I raised my money and did things by working with my hands in the lab. Now I hired other people, and I became a manager, and I got stale. I was actually not enjoying it, but at the same time, I was teaching, and I'd always been told I'd be a good teacher, and I just enjoyed it immensely. And at this, and concurrently, I had two sons in the KUSD district. My older son, Trevor, graduated last year from Lakeview.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's my connection to this whole thing.
Yes,
it's definitely a
full
cycle.
Very, very fulfilling. It must be.
Yeah, I get teary-eyed, so we can't go too far down there. I'll start crying.
That's what those are. Okay.
Yeah, so, but 4 years ago, he started in one of the clubs as a freshman. And that's one thing beautiful about Lakeview is all the different clubs. And it was a robotics club. It's called the ROV Club for remote-operated vehicles, underwater robots, basically.
Wow.
And I started coming earlier and earlier to pick up my son every day. And eventually, last year, the guy who was the coach, he was just too spread out, and they asked me to be a coach. And at the same time, I was looking possibly for a new career. And I talked to Mr. Hittman. He says, can you teach chemistry? He says, that's what you should do. We need chemistry teachers. And then sometime later, and I was actually actively looking for jobs, I think it was in February, 2 years ago, he calls up and he says, Eric, how would you like to teach chemistry at our school? And I go, sure, I could start Monday. And he goes, good, because you're going to start on Monday. And this was Wednesday.
Yes, okay.
So, and I was lucky it was one of the big snow days that year. And so I got an extra day or two because they closed down school. But he had me emergency sub teaching a class of chemistry. Last year was my first full year. And hardest job I've ever had in my life.
Hardest job you've ever loved.
And at the same time, the absolute most rewarding experience I've ever had. It's amazing. And this school, and it comes down to people. Bill's
absolutely
good at picking people. Yeah. Tim, the other teachers there, just an awesome place.
He finds a good fit.
Yep.
That's, of course, it rhymes with some of his name anyway. But, well, thank you so much. I can't stress the importance of how uplifting this is to really be able to focus on and educate, certainly, and inform the listening audience as to the level and caliber of education that is in our school district and is certainly at work influencing the students and being leaders in the community as a result. With that in mind, I'm brought to certainly some of the popularity of physics locally and certainly on a national level, because my first approach to this is the experience with teaching physics through radio, something that combines Big Bang Theory with what I call theater of the mind, which is what what radio has been described as. If someone could describe or discuss a little bit about is this a radio show, or is this a body of knowledge or an academic discipline that combines physics and the technology of radio?
Sure, absolutely. What happens is it's not actually a radio show. The FCC says that our license is only for producing what are called radio experiments, for practicing communication. What we're doing is we're taking
like a cell phone, we
break it apart and we take a look at what's going on inside that black box.
Okay.
How is the voice being changed from sound waves into electrical waves, and how are those electrical waves carried over the air and then decoded on the other side?
So let me interrupt then. Do you just go automatically to digital, which is what we're listening to most of the time now as far as the technology, or are you going through the whole evolution of everything from tubes to digital?
The great thing is, we actually was just given a whole bunch of vintage equipment that we can now go all the way from tubes and Morse code all the way through to sending images digitally, bouncing them off the moon, bouncing them off satellites. Our students' goal is to build a system that they can roll into an elementary school or middle school and to be able to have a live conversation with the International Space Station. And that, again, was both digital and analog. AM and FM and Morse code all happening triangulating black boxes for, like, if an airplane goes down. These are all skills that these kids will be learning how to do.
Okay. And, you know, I will also mention that on my last show, my previous guests were members of the Armed Forces, U.S. Army, and from the local recruiting station, and they are every bit characterized as a local education resource, much as the school district is, in their own application. Most importantly for people to realize is the importance of STEM topics, and that's you may hear that again, and so to clarify and remind people, STEM is science, technology,
engineering,
and mathematics. And so we have a lot of that represented right here. How did the VOYA recognition come about? Who is VOYA? This was a, as I read the press release here, there was a grant that was awarded through a VOYA recognition. It's an Unsung Heroes Award program. And perhaps, I don't know if Bill can talk about that a little bit even, and then perhaps Tim may know something about it. And, of course, we have the his sidekick, his partner in crime, sitting here pointing his finger at him and saying, yeah, let him talk.
So. Well, Chuck, just to take it back a little bit more, because resources are scarce today for some major projects.
Mm-hmm.
I've encouraged Tim and Dr. Schroeder and myself. We went out and got some grants. Before we got this grant, we went to the Palmer Foundation. I think you may know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Palmer was one of the founders of Snap-on Tools.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 1996, they gave some money to
there was
Lakeview.
A workshop named after him.
Right, to Lakeview. Sorry, yeah. Well, the Palmer people, Foundation people, came up to Kenosha here a year ago last fall, hadn't been to the school in a number of years, and saw the school and were more than impressed. And encouraged us, didn't make us any guarantees, to apply to their foundation again. Well, we wanted to get an electron-emitting microscope.
Oh, okay.
And Dr. Schroeder was there.
Yeah.
So we wrote a grant for $77,000, and we received that grant. Well, Tim saw we were successful, and Tim on his own, looking for money, and he's applied to other places, found out about the VOYA people, and came to me and said, was it all right if I applied for a grant? I said, Tim, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there were three grants. One was $25,000, one was $10,000, and one was five. Plus, there were a number of people, I think 25 groups got 2,000.
100 groups.
Oh, pardon me, 100 groups got 2,000. So then the VOYA people contacted me and said, Mr. Trippman, we want a little publicity for this. Okay, and they said, we'd like to present it to your student body. So we arranged for a whole student body to see, and they flew some executives in, gave Tim and Dr. Schroeder a great big copy of a check.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay,
sure.
And so they have $7,000. They did the work.
Wonderful.
Okay, these two gentlemen filled out the application.
The kids did the work.
Well, and that was one of the other questions I was going to allude to, but I'm glad you brought that up. That's very important.
So I'm going to turn over to Tim, because they did a little work from there. I just gave them the go-ahead and helped organize the big assembly.
Long story short, this all happened as a result of my physics class last year. I had a relatively small class full of really, really great, really, really energetic kids. If you walked in that classroom any given day, it looked more like a baseball team than a physics class.
Great.
There were kids sitting on tops of desks, laying on the floor, and we were just
working
our tails off. And
was this AP physics?
No, this was conceptual physics.
Oh, the conceptual
this was
physics
the regular
class.
Physics class. And I told these students that with the fact that the classroom was smaller, that opened up some labs
you
and opportunities.
You talk about conceptual physics as being different from AP as if it's no big deal. And it is remarkable stuff. So please go ahead. I just wanted to
conceptual physics is a lot of fun. But I told these students, I said, I want you to help plan your second half of the course. I want you to find a project that relates electricity, waves, sound, light, and I want you to make it your own. We have the whole entire second quarter to figure out what it is that we're going to do third quarter to figure out what we're going to do fourth quarter. And if you guys can't find something, then I'm going to go to my traditional lectures and the same way that
we're
doing.
No, we'll find some, please, not that stuff.
That's exactly what they did. And they originally started off wanting to build a Wi-Fi repeater that can shoot a wireless signal across Lake Andrea. And because most Wi-Fi routers are only good for maybe 30 meters, outside of a room,
sure,
if you're lucky.
Okay.
So we did some research on it. We started finding some stuff. We knew that we had no funding for it whatsoever. The kids got 2 satellite dishes donated, found routers that they could disassemble and reprogram. They actually found them at Goodwill for like $12
a
piece.
You're kidding.
And so we started building all of this together, and one of the kids in one of our research sessions pulled up the FCC amateur radio exam and was looking through it and said, Mr. Overacker, isn't this the exact same thing that we're covering in fourth quarter plus the rules and regulations for the FCC? And having a little bit of experience in amateur radio, I said, absolutely. I mean, it's all wave theory, it's sound, it's light, electromagnetism. And they said, well, can we do this? Can we get our amateur radio license? And I said, well, let's talk to Mr. Hittman. If he says, it's good to go, then we can. So the kids presented to Mr. Hittman, and Mr. Hittman said, sounds great, as long as you guys can tie it to the standards. Can you find a way to tie amateur radio to the standards? So we went back to the kids and said, all right, guys, you want to do this. Here's the current next-gen science standards. Find the connection. And these kids were able to tie.
Here are the parameters. You figure it out, and we're good to go.
Absolutely. The kids were able to tie it to 17 of the next generation science standards for physics.
How many in total are there? You said
there is
17.
There's in the 30s, so it's just over half the physics standards.
And when he came to me, the day that he came to me, he does this all, Dr. Schroeder, I want to run something by you. And he ran it by me. And I had been reading the standards. And I go, how are they going to do this? You had to do electromagnetic radiation, the transmission of information.
Transmission
of data is right in it in the next generation science series. He came and it was like this giant light bulb. I go, that's perfect. And so that's when he hooked me into this. This is an awesome way to do this.
Yes.
And then from then we brought it to we tied it to the standards and brought it back to Mr. Hittman. He says, yep, you guys have my stamp of approval. Unfortunately, it's now too late in the school year for funding, and we have no money. You guys have to find your own funding source for this. And the kids went and wrote a youth as resources grant because there's a lot of community service aspects in amateur radio. I wrote a Kenosha Education Foundation grant, and these kids had never even sent a fax before in their life. In fact, we brought them down to the main office and had the secretaries give them a lesson on how to create a cover page and send a fax. They're writing the grant from start to finish. They had to go and give a presentation to the grant board at the government building downtown, and they had 5 minutes to present this overly complex grant and about community service, and unfortunately, they were denied. It was very, very, very difficult to tell the students, you know, you got all this work, and you got denied. But the Kenosha Youth, the Youth as Resources, they were following their policies, and they were right to say, you know, your project is too large, needs a little bit more focus. Okay. And when we wrote our grant
to tighten the shot group, basically,
absolutely.
Right. Okay.
And we wrote our grant for the Education Foundation, and again, we were very, very wide on our focus. It was the first time, the second grant they've written, and it was better than the first grant they were written, but still not, it wasn't the right grant
refined enough.
Yeah, well, not just refined, it was the target was a little bit off from what they were looking for.
And so then the kids found out, now they've been shot down twice, and they were devastated.
Sure.
And we wrote on Facebook, we found an amateur radio group that had a lot of knowledge. They had over 16,000 members worldwide. And we wrote our story up there, and we were talking to them. And within 24 hours of the kids posting their story online, we had a GoFundMe campaign set up.
Whoa.
And the kids had gone from not sending their first fax at all to managing a multinational fundraising effort that in a course of just a few weeks brought in over $3,500.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So now they had their money to build their station.
So going from radio to social media to get the radio project funded.
And if anybody knows about ham radio operators, they are a strong-knit community that is
They
active.
Really, really
so
are.
You could see. It was you know, you say over
it's
a few
surprisingly
weeks,
a level of technology that you don't tend to think of as being as resonating with a lot of people. But if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to announce to our listeners that this is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM in your radio dial. Again, I'm the co-moderator, Chuck Wolbers, and today my guests are Mr. Bill Hittman, the principal of Lakeview Technical Academy, Mr. Timothy Overocker, and Dr. Eric Schroeder, and they're both on his faculty. We're discussing the grant that these gentlemen received for their school with the program Teaching Physics Through Radio. And Tim was talking about some of the lengths and the process of the mechanism necessary to get this project underway. It's very, very engaging and very, very interesting, especially when you consider the learning targets met for the type of technology that the students were studying and applying. Now, you did mention something about a router that would a Wi-Fi router that would broadcast or bounce basically across Lake Andrea and back. What would be the use for that? Would anyone at the RecPlex, for example, be nervous that, oh, those kids are just trying to listen in on our conversations and that guy Hittman is a nutcase anyway? So.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
This is completely...
It was just for the sake of establishing a distance and showing that this is the capacity that is possible.
Absolutely.
As opposed to your router that's in the den and you want to be able to run your computer, a laptop, in your living room.
And one of the things about amateur radio is that it shares the frequency spectrum with Wi-Fi. And normal everyday users don't have the license to broadcast Wi-Fi signals at that strength. But okay. With the amateur license, you have the responsibility to make sure you're doing it without interfering with others' communication. You have to, if you're causing interference, you have to stop. If you're creating interference, you have to stop. Because your goal is to be a productive member of the community. And
sure. So go ahead.
I just bringing this up and talking about the licensing, one of the goals, and we have a club that meets every week on Mondays, and one of the most amazing things that I've seen is to go into this room and see 10 high school teenagers sitting and listening to lectures and preparing to take a license exam for being a ham operator, and they're doing it of their own free will. This isn't in a classroom. These are kids that are, and you tell them about it, and they go, when does it meet? Dr. Schroeder, I want to be a part of it. You go, just Monday, go to Mr. Overocker's room, and they're excited
wow.
about it.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that something like that they would throw off, but this is really, you know, technology, it's radio, it's physics, and all the things that we're saying that it's good for them to learn.
It's also not something that is exactly... sitting dress right dress in a conventional classroom.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. This is experiential education and expeditionary in a way, as far as the students really defining their destiny, as far as the learning opportunity and the learning experience is concerned. Bill, is this something that goes on a regular basis at Lakeview?
Very much so, Gay. We are a STEM school, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Every August, the U.S. Department of Labor does a data dump at midnight, usually on a Thursday or a Wednesday night. It takes about two and a half hours just to accept the data dump. And it's the projection on the occupational needs of this country over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In fact, I can tell you last year's data. The most in-demand job in this country in 2015-2025 are teachers, preschool through university. Second are nurses. Third, and by the way, and they think nursing may surpass teaching in 3 years. Third are software engineers.
Yes, because someone is going to have to take care of the retiring teachers now.
Right.
So the nurses might get big. Go ahead.
Four, five, and six are people that work in the information technology field.
Uh-huh.
Network specialists, programmers.
Architects.
Yeah.
But I mean network architects.
Yeah, right. Seven and eight are people that are not doctors, not nurses, med techs.
Okay, technical.
Okay, nine is somebody with a bachelor's degree in marketing, and 10 is now a chemical engineer.
Wow.
So if the teacher is a science technology or technology education teacher or math teacher, nine of those 10 jobs are in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Sure.
So when you come to Lakeview, Chuck, we'll give you a nice shirt. Nice long sleeve cotton shirt. And then down the sleeve it says Lakeview Nerd. At the front it says, I'm a nerd, you are not. See the back. And the back says, would you like to borrow some money?
Yes, I heard that before with one of our students we were discussing earlier. And yeah,
and so, very so, well put. And now
Troy, of course, our engineer here, engineering, is sitting here laughing about it.
Okay. The greatest occupational area of an area is computer science math.
Mm.
So we just added AP Computer Science A, which is Advanced Java. We'll be adding principles, a new course called AP Computer Science Principles. Mm-hmm. Tim, by the way, is one of only a handful people in the state that could teach these classes right now.
Wow.
There is such a shortage.
So we are so fortunate in KUSD.
Well, between 2011 and 2020, we need 1.2 million people come in this field, anywhere from a two-year associate's degree to a PhD. There's only 400,000 people in the pipeline. That's all there is. It's such a shortage.
It's an identified shortage.
Oh, I mean, it is a critical, by the way, it is a national security shortage to the extent this summer, KUSD is going to announce this. Any math teacher in our school district, you go to Marquette University, they'll pay their room board tuition and pay them $1,000 to get trained to take the test, the Praxis test for computer science. Because the teacher's class, you have to either be certified in computer science or you have to be a math teacher with an endorsement for a computer science. So I check our curriculum every year. Just before we came over here, Chuck, we just eliminated five courses from our course catalog, and we're adding some new ones. Okay.
Well, you guys work pretty early. Here we are Saturday morning, and you guys are going through this curriculum stuff.
Well, everybody thinks networking is such a big thing because of the cloud now.
Yes.
Okay, you still need networking people, but that's being diminished.
Well, networking also means in a lot of young people's minds, I am connected. I'm talking to my friends and conducting all these big deals and so forth and so on as I'm talking about what games I'm playing. And
that's a different form of networking.
It is a completely different form. This is the nuts and bolts practical end.
Okay. Right now I'm looking. In fact, I just talked to Gateway people this afternoon. Do they have courses in coding? Okay, we need to add that to it. Okay, so what they're doing and what we do, Lakeview Technology Academy it's called Lakeview Advanced Technology Academy. We make sure that the curriculum that we're teaching in that school will lead to good paying, relevant jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we're out marketing. We're a choice school. So every child that comes there, it's a choice. We put on major presentations to the parents, and I assure the parents, your son or daughter comes to this school, and they graduate from this school, they will have a marketable skill upon graduating.
Mm-hmm. And now, will it change eventually? Will it go from LTA to LATA, LATA, or something of that nature?
No. Right now, the big thing is we need to build onto our school. We are so oversubscribed. There's 88 children in this school district that met all the requirements to come to Lakeview. They just didn't get. They weren't lucky enough in terms of the lottery to get in
because of the number of seats available and floor space.
We're built for 365 kids, and we have 432 kids in the building.
Okay. So
Chuck, fortunately, physics conducted
down there to
Chuck,
fit them all.
Do you like to be hugged?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, then good. Chuck, you come to Lake. You cannot walk through the hallway. I'm not joking without being hugged.
Oh, yeah. We get traffic jams in those 4 minutes between classes that are. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Exciting stuff.
But the kids don't complain.
I don't doubt it. Sounds like they're very engaged and again, looking very, very forward to not just an educational experience, but one that their abilities and their vision is respected.
Yeah.
And I've always gotten that from Bill Hittman. Certainly Tim, I'm sure Dr. Eric, as I've gotten to meet him in the short period of time, this is a very, very exciting and fulfilling and rewarding experience in campus, certainly experience for those students. And again, something that I think that our listeners should be aware of as we discuss these issues this morning. I had a question here that I was going to ask, who participates in the program, what are their qualifications? To go a little bit further and without zinging you blindsiding you with just something. This is not Springer. We're really actually more responsible than that. But so the students did get their license.
A couple of them did, yes.
A couple of them got their license. Is there a plan or a vision at all that anything will be broadcast from LTA or soon to be LATA Go ahead, Tim.
Well, right now we are working on building our classroom station where so that the kids can broadcast as around them. So the kids can communicate around the world to other amateur radio users, whether they be in the United States or Asia, Europe, South America, and to be able to even try and communicate even to the astronauts on the International Space Station, because there's an amateur radio station orbiting the Earth on that, as with other satellites.
How big is amateur radio? You know, you tend to think of a lot of the technologically related activities that young people are involved in now have certainly an enormous social component. When you go back to think about the ham operators and the guys with the big antennas on their cars and so forth and so on, you're talking about a pretty small population. And I don't know if that's an accurate
growing
characterization, but yes, I didn't know that our students' counterparts in Leutosch, I just happen to have been there, Austria, might be involved in their HTL school there in amateur radio.
There are competitions that occur a couple times a year that are strictly for high school amateur radio clubs.
Wonderful.
Where you are trying to get as many communications or contacts.
This was Boy Scout merit badge stuff.
Exactly, yes.
Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that. It just has not grown with the same level of popularity.
There's been a lot
of...
That
need is there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's disappeared. I think that people have kind of set it in the background and think, we're just moving forward. And like your Big Bang Theory, we're nerds and we're proud of it. Mm-hmm. And give us something to do. Some of these kids in the classroom are starving for information. They're really, they literally all will jump out of their chairs, raising their hands. What about this?
Sure.
You know, and to give them the opportunity to express themselves, especially on something as important as STEM opportunities, is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they flock to it. You describe to them what an amateur radio is, a ham radio,
yeah,
which
exactly.
We think of old men with their big antennas on the roofs going,
And now I think of, at the end of one of Mr. Overocker's classes, you've got the kids like the Big Bang Theory cast was standing around stomping their feet and so forth to the Space Odyssey overture. And I could almost see them doing as they were making a communication link between China and turning off a light or something like that.
You know, we ask them what they want to do, and some of them say, we want to build the antennas. They want to build the electronics. So we can take them from the point of talking about the physics of electricity and electromagnetism from the classroom all the way out to doing tracking out in the woods looking for a transponder. So you get this huge array of activities that they can do. Even in chemistry, you can start talking about the materials of your cell phone, the organic LED, the radio antennas that are built in there. It's
so
just
the potentials,
so pervading.
Geocaching
it's
and
huge.
All this other stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So now we've got a, besides the purely academic application consideration, you also have that physical education piece in there, which is my background, because no slouch is going to be able to put up with this and just fall in line and complete all of those objectives.
Once we get this technology up and running, other departments have actually talked about working with it. The biology classes are looking to do remote data capture for monitoring environmental aspects. The Super Mileage Vehicle Club is looking at doing remote data capture of their cars that's going around the track, tracking velocity, fuel consumption, aerodynamics. The English classes have been talking about doing long-distance reading projects with kids located anywhere in the world, actually.
Thanks, Tim. That was the other question I had, so now we're wide open. No, please go ahead. Continue.
And what's really neat is the fact that in amateur radio, you control the whole spectrum. It's not like a phone where the telephone company controls the technology. It's not like the internet where the communication goes through some backbone that is owned and maintained by other entities.
There's no Verizon or AT&T, it's you.
Yeah, okay. In amateur radio, you control not only the transmission, but you control the route that it's going, and you own the whole end-to-end communication.
Okay.
And so you can really break down and study, how does the voice go from what I'm speaking into the microphone, through the wires, into the antenna, out across the skies, and then back into the speaker, and even to the biological processes, how do we actually perceive sound or data or images back so when it comes to the other side.
Conductivity, transmission, reception, those kind of things, as it even happens in the right to the inner ear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, now tell me about some of these hobby places like Radio Shack. I understand they're like on the skids and they're not doing as hot. And yet people used to be able to go to places like that to build their radios if they're not in business or something of that. And I see them around. I'm just saying,
are there
other outlets and places that
– A big one that I'd like to talk about real quick would be Yaesu.
Okay.
Yaesu is a large radio manufacturer. In fact, they donated they saw the kids' presentation. They saw the pictures of it online and said, hey, are those Yaesu radios? And the kids are like, yeah, we like them. We like the features of them. And they said, well, how about we give you two radios instead of the ones that you guys were looking at purchasing? These ones are digital, and they have GPS, and they have all these other features that the ones you were originally going to purchase didn't. So they donated two radios to the two $350 radios to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months later, they donated a repeater system to the school. So now we have once we get the repeater system installed, we're looking for antenna places and working with the regulators to figure out, okay, what frequencies can we transmit on? We now have the ability to communicate on a regional level. And even using just that technology, last week the students were able to talk on the radio, a handheld radio, with someone in Madison.
Wow.
Just from standing outside the school with a little handheld radio.
We don't, and I don't mean anything bad about Radio Shack by any means. It's a part of our economy. It's a part of our commercial landscape that certain businesses are going to do better than others, and it's going to be cyclical and so forth. But for the access to the equipment that you folks need, it sounds like you don't need even necessarily the mom and pop store that has the esoteric inventory. You can order online.
You're online. That's exactly it.
YouTube,
and there's
promoting
really
your project, and you get people coming to you.
They'll come and give you advice and help,
or give you equipment. It sounds like
one of the largest.
People are excited about it.
One of the largest providers for amateur radio equipment is just right in Milwaukee. There's the supply AES in Milwaukee has a lot of amateur radio equipment. They're a large company nationwide.
And so the access to the material is there, and certainly you have the innovation and imagination energy certainly existing at Lakeview Advanced Technology Academy. Well, this has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 on your FM dial. Today's guests are Mr. Bill Hittman, principal of Lakeview, and now I'm saying Advanced Technical Academy, Mr. Timothy Overrocker, and Dr. Eric Schroeder. Both are faculty members at LTA in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And they've been discussing a grant that they and their students wrote and received for their school with their program Teaching Physics Through Radio. We are all inspired and certainly proud of their innovative, energizing efforts, which benefit and help define our entire community so richly, because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for WGTD's Radio Theater comes from the Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, a full-service leisure getaway, family retreat, and meeting facility. Lake Lawn Resort, a proud supporter of WGTD's Radio Theater. LakeLawnResort.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring VK Honey, locally harvested honey. Also, honey sticks for snacking and a variety of beeswax candles. The winter market in the atrium of the Rohde Center for the Arts on 56th Street is open Saturdays from 9 to 1. Support comes from the Lake Geneva Symphony, in concert Saturday evening, November 21st, at Calvary Community Church in Williams Bay, featuring Vaughn Williams' London Symphony and local standout high school harpist Clarissa Schilling. For tickets, visit LakeGenevaOrchestra.org. WGTD's Morning Show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer, my gosh. You really made me think. You really read the book.
Yeah. No other interview is really
interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the morning show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news only on WGTD.
...24-7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-30.